right now, a woman is facing charges accused of shooting a man between his legs.
And that man is speaking about the incident.
You can file that story under Shit You Cannot Make Up. Stay with me for details and the 7th birthday of...
That Larry Show.
That Larry Show.
De lunes a jueves. You will find...
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Larry. Fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
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 Welcome to the 7th birthday party of That Larry Show. We'll do a deeper dive into that grisly love story from Ohio in just a moment. Because here we are, 7 years old. Incredible, isn't it? We celebrate it like a birthday, never an anniversary. The word anniversary has a shit ton of baggage, and most of it's bad. A birthday usually entails a celebration. An anniversary is often accompanied by a memorial. And we don't celebrate the birthday of this show every year. It has to be a special year. Year one was amazed to have made it that far. Year five had a birthday show. That half decade. Well, that's kind of a milestone. Now, why year seven? Well, seven is a number of great power and gravitas. It's mentioned in the Bible a lot.
On the seventh day he rested.
How can God get tired? Let's hope he gets tired of politicians and smites the shit out of Washington, D.C. 7 days and seven nights is a common biblical phrase, as is seven times seven times seven. Even back then, they were using exponents. Seven's a big number in gambling. In terms of birthdays, seven is the age of reason. When a kid is still a kid, but is considered sufficiently developed to understand right and wrong and be responsible for his actions. But are we ever? Isn't that why lawyers were invented? Now, this show may be 7 years old, but on this birthday, we're going to prove that you're never too old to be immature. Those of you of a certain age may recall a story that dominated headlines for months and months back in 1993. An ex-Marine named John Wayne Bobbitt became world famous when his wife chopped off his Johnson as he slept. She then took the amputated portion and fled in her car and tossed it out the window as she drove. Amazingly, the piece was recovered, packed in saline ice, and through surgical magic, an operation that took 9 hours was reattached. The story was global news. John Wayne Bobbitt and his Ecuadorian wife, Lorena, well, they became very, very famous. Their adventure even altered the culture in some ways. When the details of the story emerged, it was impossibly crazy and validated that old saw that truth is stranger than fiction. A money quote from Lorena was recorded by police right after she mutilated him. She told the cops,
"He always have orgasm, and he doesn't wait for me to ever have orgasm. He's selfish."
Well, there's a motivation. Of course, once a lawyer counseled her, Lorena's story changed from sexual frustration to rape. And so marital rape became a hot topic at water coolers and on talk shows. John Wayne Bobbitt instantly went from hapless, dickless victim to monster. He was acquitted of those charges, but the media did not cover that part of the story. Apparently, the reattachment surgery was a complete success, and Bobbitt went on to appear in a porn movie called Frankenpenis.
He's alive!
After that, he moved to Las Vegas, where his career really took off, and he found success as a limo driver, pizza delivery guy, and a minister at a wedding chapel. Wonder if any grooms called off the wedding when they got a look at Bobbitt. Incredibly, 16 years after the event and divorce, John and Lorena reunited on the TV show The Insider, where John said that he still loved her and continued to send her Valentine's cards and flowers. Wow, some men really are idiots. Or else maybe Lorena had some supernatural talents between those sheets. Which brings us around to the story at the top of the show, where a woman shot one of her boyfriend's testicles off. Apparently, there will be no reattachment. And when you listen to this story, not only is it off the charts insane, it's a nutty exercise in circuitous verbiage and blue nose euphemisms.
Right now, a woman is facing charges accused of shooting a man between his legs.
Note she says, between his legs. Doesn't want to mention the actual target. Here comes more obfuscation.
I need an ambulance ASAP because Charlie Green just got shot.
Police say the woman on the call is Glenn's ex-girlfriend, 36-year-old Tanya Nestor.
That audio is a little muddy, but what she said was, and this is the shooter speaking, I need an ambulance ASAP because Charlie Glenn just got shot. She's crazy enough to shoot him in his dick, kind enough to summon help, and sneaky enough not to self-incriminate.
Charlie Glenn just got shot.
Charlie Glenn just got shot by what? A nearsighted hunter in the woods? A drive-by gangbanger? The magic bullet from Oswald's rifle? She tells the police dispatcher she doesn't know whether it hit his privates or not.
Shot him in between the legs?
Yes. I don't know if it hit his privates or what.
Betcha Charlie knows whether it hit his privates. Next, Charlie gives his account of the sordid tale, and it seems as if he may be omitting some details.
The alleged victim is 49-year-old Charlie Glenn.
Wanted me to take a walk with her, and I found out that she had a pistol with her, and she said it was a pellet run. And I said, well, let me see it, because I'm not going to go anywhere with you if you got a gun. And she pulled it out and shot me.
Imagine that. You're out for a walk with your girlfriend, and just out of the blue, she pulls a pistol. And instead of running for cover, Charlie wants to know what kind of pistol. He slurred his words and said he wanted to see if it was a pellet gun. Then she blasts him in the bollocks. And as he relates this event, he laughs. Just a quick chortle, but there it is.
And she pulled it out and shot me.
Now, this is another example of shit news reporting. A pellet gun is not a firearm. Did she shoot him with a pellet gun or a real gun? We'll have to deduce that on our own. In the next exchange with police dispatch, the girlfriend rats herself out as the shooter, and the 911 operator's reaction is priceless.
Police say Glenn was able to get the gun away from his ex-girlfriend.
He still has it in his hand, yes.
He still has it?
He took it from her, yes.
She pulled the pistol out and shot me, and I proceeded to take the pistol from her at that point and got her down. And, you know, my family members called the 911 because I was shot and bleeding.
Tough guy. He gets shot in the nuts but manages to disarm her. Later on, we get more details from Charlie.
Back at the house, the dispatcher asked about Glenn's wound.
Okay, is there more than one wound, or is it just the one?
Is it just one wound, Charlie?
One shot, but I think it went through my pistol into my butt cheek and out.
Okay, so one shot went through his nut, into his butt cheek, and out the other side. Wow, that would have to be one powerful pellet gun to penetrate all that. At this point, it may be safe to assume it was at least a .22 caliber pistol. And it's always good to interview the neighbor for some sharp clarification.
It's unfortunate, you know, that somebody would, you know, I don't know if they had relationship problems or what.
He can't figure out whether they were having relationship problems or not because, you know, every girlfriend will try to shoot your John Thomas off sooner or later. That doesn't mean it's a problem relationship. Capping the whole tableau in the Buckeye State, the monoball victim not only forgives her, he expects no apology from her and declares his undying half-full ball sack love for her.
I mean, you want to say something to her? I mean, you want an apology from her? You want
No. I don't expect nothing from her. I still to this day love her.
Charlie Glenn and John Wayne Bobbitt should meet. Maybe set up a speaking tour. Give hope to all the psycho chicks out there who think they'll never find Mr. Right. Because some guys will endure anything for some female companionship. Now back to the seventh birthday of this endeavor called That Larry Show. I put out a rather late and low-key call to everyone to write or email their congratulations or good wishes or toxic vituperative bile if they happen to hate listen. Well, there were none of the latter and a very nice sampling of the former. Here are a few that really made me smile. I'll start with the written word from a wonderful lady named Kathy. I discovered your show a few months ago. You were sharing a story about UFOs, which I actually don't think are aliens. They may be something else, but not visitors from outer space. I was delighted by your talent for storytelling, and still am. I especially love the stories from your youth in New York. I admire your chutzpah. Sorry, not a Catholic word, but oh well. Your parents sound like wonderful people. Just the kind that a creative and energetic kid needs. I enjoy your road trip stories as well. I did pass along the link to your podcast to my Facebook friends. I shared my appreciation for your wonderful storytelling, but had to warn them about the cussing. I haven't had any feedback from them, so I don't know how many new fans you acquired from that share. I am happy to add my kudos for your podcast's 7th anniversary and hope you will be sharing your memories and opinions for years to come. Well, thank you very much, Kathy. Glad you're digging the show. The cussing has always been a part of my vocabulary, and sometimes to my detriment. And it does irritate some folks. I've no defense other than this. When I curse, I try to make it strategic, not just a shotgun spray of expletives. And while I do use profanity, I am never obscene. And a double thank you for spreading the word of the show to your Facebook friends. If every listener did that, this show would be very, very popular indeed. I hope no one has unfriended you after ordering the show. Next is a recording sent by a gentleman in the Netherlands. He uses the name TomTom on X, formerly Twitter, and he is a longtime ardent and steadfast supporter of the show, for which I am very grateful. TomTom went to the trouble of gathering his family together for his audio congratulations in Dutch.
Van harte gefeliciteerd.
Now that is very cool. Thank you, TomTom. This show is downloaded in nearly 100 countries around the world. What a thrill that is. I have another greeting from a friend I spend more time with than almost any other. Yet, we've never met. That would be the inimitable Darren O'Neill, with whom I co-host another show, Planet Rage, which can be found at planetrage.show, not com, not net, dot show. We just passed 107 episodes in over 2 years. Time does fly when you're having fun, and I always have fun with Darren, and it appears the audience does too, because our numbers trend only one way, and that's up. Quick backstory about Darren. When That Larry Show was just starting, I needed to upgrade the junk I was using. I saw a preamp on Amazon, and there was a review by somebody named Darren O'Neill who said he'd be glad to answer any questions and left an email address. I sent him a question. That sparked a correspondence. That was nearly 7 years ago. If pre-internet someone had told me that someday I'd become business partners and close friends with a guy I had never met, I'd have thought they were insane. Yet, here we are. And here's what the big Irish dude had to say.
Hey, Larry, fucking Larry, congratulations on 7 years of That Larry Show. Some of the best storytelling, some of the best advice, everything anybody could want. All in one healthy weekly dose. Some people call you Mr. Velvet. Some people call you the Ginger Sage. It is my honor to call you a friend. Keep up the good work. Maybe sprinkle a couple more Sinner Sundays in there. Some of us can use it. And it turns out we're not supposed to tell people to carjack Mandrew. Who knew? Congratulations, Larry. Here's to another 7 years of That Larry Show.
Thanks, Darren. It doesn't get better than that. So I'll say thanks for hanging with me once again. Thank you to you who spread word of this show and support it with your donations. The list is long, and a few episodes ago, in episode 423, I read every name, I hope. I'll be doing that again fairly soon. Now, if you're new to the show and would like to help me keep it going and join the Take No Shit Dojo, it's easy. Just visit thatlarryshow.com, where you'll find hundreds more episodes and three different ways to donate. There's a PayPal button, a Patreon button, and a P.O. Box address. This will be the first Christmas I've had back in the Northeast in a long time. I've been smearing mink oil on my boots. Is there any mink in mink oil? I doubt it. I've been buying hats and gloves. I even bought a snow shovel and a generator. Hope I don't have to use any of them. But even though the original Christmas happened in a desert, this one in the Northeast is seeming more authentic. Come back next Wednesday, or thereabouts, for a very special Christmas episode. It will feature the story, the legend, of the big blue Christmas star. What is that? Well, you'll just have to listen and find out. Until that time, thanks for being with me again, and take no shit.